Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back, everybody, to Double Indemnity, the podcast where we talk about and remove. I can never say it without like stumbling.
Talk about and review new movies.
Yes, maybe you should do the intro to the podcast.
No, you do a great job doing the intro.
Well, I do a lot of talking in the podcast, so, you know. Beans, no, you can't. She's trying to sit on the table as a bed. Has she been doing that all day while we've been gone? She's literally using the coffee table as a bed right
you
now.
You can't do that, Beans.
Come here, Beans. Over here. Come here. She just leaped. That was so cute.
Hey, no.
We have it on video. Here, just move that blankie so she doesn't think it's a bed.
She's like, I'm trying to get there.
Ew. Beans.
Okay. So, couple intros to the podcast. We always say these, but I'm going to continue to always say them. We are going to talk about the whole movie. If you don't want to be spoiled, go watch the movie and come back. Also remember, follow us on Letterboxd and leave comments there on the next movie before we watch it, because we post them there early. DI_podcast.
That is the one.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's our Letterboxd. So
I don't think anybody commented this time.
No, nobody did. I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's the Meg. I don't think anybody's going to watch this review. We're mostly just doing it because we wanted to. But that's the whole point of the podcast. So
that's true. Yeah.
Potato, potato. Okay, everybody. First segment of the podcast. What are we watching right now?
We just watched Far and Away, which is one of your favorite
classic
movies.
Classic Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise movie with a wonderful score by John Williams. It is four-act movie. Glorious. Everybody should see it. I think it's a classic. It's one of my favorite movies.
I liked it.
And I love that they're so young in it, because we've seen them in their whole acting career, and seeing them in a movie where they're that young. Like, I think you said Nicole Kidman was like 23. Like, that's our age.
Yeah, that's your age.
That is crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So we also watched a Liam Neeson movie.
Oh yeah, Nonstop.
It was pretty good.
It's
so
a classic
hokey
movie. Yeah. Classic action Liam Neeson movie.
I just love him for who he is, you know. Like, he does the ridiculous action movies, but then he also, like, randomly will come out with, like, such a serious, like, heart-wrenchingly, like, amazing role.
Like, Schindler's List was, like, what?
Yeah. Or he was in, I don't remember what it was called, but he was in a movie where his wife, like, had cancer or something recently. Probably in the last, like, 5 years. It was really good. It was very heartbreaking. And it was, like, him coming to terms and her coming to terms with, like, her having breast cancer.
I'm trying to think. I don't remember. I have to look that up.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. That's one of them. Of the good Liam Neesons. So, do you want to enter the movie?
It's Meg 2, The Trench. The Trench.
Honestly, the name was, like, not at all related to the movie, because the original movie was about the trench,
the
too.
Place.
So,
yeah,
it was, like,
it was
literally
like,
terrible. Like, they could have come up with something better than just, like, The Trench.
Yeah, I don't know what they would have come up with. Something better than that, mm-hmm. Obviously. Directed by a guy named Ben Wheatley. He has done some movies.
You don't
believe
say
it or
it
not.
Like, they would be good. Wow, you don't sound like you think he's a very good director.
I'm not a big fan of the movies. I like one of his movies. It's called Free Fire. It's like an action comedy. And then there's a movie called Under the Earth, which is like a horror movie. And I hate that movie. It was awful. This movie called High Rise.
I thought you were
going to
say that you liked it.
Oh, no, no. That movie was, like, so pointless and just, like, bleh.
Mm-hmm.
He did a remake of the Hitchcock movie Rebecca with Armie Hammer and Lily James.
Oh, my God. That was him? Yeah. I didn't even see it, because I think it came out right when all of the Armie Hammer controversy came out. So I did not want to see it. I don't think anybody wanted to see it. It was probably terrible for the movie.
It was not a great movie,
okay.
Obviously.
But he had two big names in it.
That's true.
He does big movies, you know? Like, how do you end up becoming, like, a director like that? Like, how do you get the gig of director? I kind of just always assumed, like, it's very common that the director is also the writer of the movie, you know?
Yeah, I don't know in his case. I know he did one of his first movies. It was, like, really low budget. It's called Kill List, and apparently that's better than his other movies.
Maybe because it was so low budget, one of his first movies, he didn't really have any, like, directorial say in what was happening. Maybe that's why it was pretty good.
But then he did another movie called High Rise with Tom Hiddleston, which I kind of like, but also kind of don't. I'm mid on that movie. Anyways, okay. I have complicated thoughts on Ben Wheatley as a director.
You have just such complicated thoughts, such complex, complicated thoughts.
It would take an average, above average human to collect all my thoughts.
It would take an average human to collect all your thoughts. Is that what you were going to say? Above average.
The movie stars the action man himself, Jason Statham, as Jonas Taylor. It's like a very...
I know.
That name, you know?
I thought that at first it was like Jonas, like, I thought they were pronouncing it like...
Jonas?
Jonas. Like, it was like, I don't know. This is probably wrong, but I assumed like he was a German character or something. But then I was reading the description of it and his name was just Jonas.
This is Jonas, yeah.
I don't know. I was like surprised because they kept pronouncing it like fancily.
You thought it was German? Movie.
I don't know. I just assumed it was. I don't know if it is.
I don't think it does. Could be a German
name. Like Johannes.
Oh.
Is that a German name? I don't even know.
Yeah. Like Johann Schmidt.
Yeah. That's what I thought they were saying was like Johann.
Oh. I didn't say anything about that.
Johann was right. There's something down here.
There's a guy named Wu Jing as Jiming.
I don't know how to say his name. Jai.
He's the main guy.
Yeah. He's the main Asian guy.
Yeah. Exactly. Not to be particular.
Well, yeah. It takes place.
Specific or anything.
Not to call him out or anything.
I got Cliff Curtis as Mac. And then Paige Kennedy as DJ. He was the comedic relief of the movie.
The black guy?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, I don't really think any of them were the comedic relief.
Well, that was his assignment on the movie.
Him and the other guy together, though. They were like a tag team.
True, true.
They were like the comedic relief together.
The plot. Get ready for this. A research team encounters multiple threats while exploring the depths of the ocean, including a malevolent mining operation.
That was so flat. You know? Yeah. Usually there's like... Those two sentences like are a roller coaster. They take you on a journey. And that was so just disappointing.
The journey wasn't there. We finished the journey. The journey was just one step, two step. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Any guesses on the budget?
I accidentally saw it. I think it's like $120 million.
Yeah, $129. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I accidentally saw it.
This does not look like it's $129 million to make. This looks like it was made with
The sharks looked pretty good, honestly.
Really?
They looked relatively good compared to like how crappy I thought the movie was. The sharks looked really good.
I thought the sharks looked kind of shit.
Well, you know more about sharks than me, so.
That's true. I do. Shark expert, marine biologist.
Name as many sharks as you can. We did this once, and he went on for so long.
I don't want to do that right now.
Oh, you're too embarrassed.
Yeah,
you're gonna be nervous in front of everybody.
Yeah, obviously. I could go on
name
for
off
a long
like
time.
50 sharks.
There are 350 kinds of species.
And you can probably name like 50 of them. There's Maybe. Probably more than 300 and whatever.
350?
More. They're probably more than 350.
Probably because I used to read that
in the Mariana Trench
like 10 years ago.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to look it up while you continue your discussion and then I'll tell you if you're still right.
Box office, it has made $142 million so far, which is more than I thought it would, to be frank.
I honestly, like, I thought it was going to do good, just like how Avengers movies do good, because people just want to watch, like, casual action movies. Like, they enjoy it.
If I was 12, I would love this movie. Like, I would love it.
This was, like, the same, but not even the same, but it kind of reminded me of the recent Haunted Mansion movie. Now, I loved the recent Haunted Mansion movie, but... It reminded me of it in the fact that, like, it's scary, but it's not scary.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
If I was a kid, I would have been, like,
whoa,
floored by it. But now, you know, as an adult, having been through so many things, scary things, crazy things, I would never be scared of something like that. Okay, Jonathan, I just want to tell you that as of 2021, there are 512 types of sharks.
Whoa, okay, that number's increased a lot.
But there are 23 species of sharks that are waiting on scientific description to be considered valid.
Wow.
That brings the total to 535, which 35 is your lucky number.
That's true, it is.
And it's, what's the word where it's the same thing forward and backwards?
Oh.
Like the Arrival movie? What is it called?
Yeah, what's it called?
There's a name for words that are spelled that are the same forwards and backwards.
It's a palindrome.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's a palindrome, and it's a palindrome of your lucky number.
That's
which is kind of
a good sign.
Kind of fun.
I like that.
You're just the shark boy.
Shark Boy, are you Lava Girl?
No.
Okay. Pretty, what does it mean?
You were so far off, though.
Considered valid, you know.
They probably have to prove that it's different than other species before you can just say, "Oh, I found a new species."
You can't sit with us. You're not a shark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I gave the. How would I give this movie? I gave it 2 stars.
I would give it 2 stars as well.
Just the CGI is not there, and it's because the VFX artists are not overwhelmed there, and the studio doesn't give them enough time, and they're not paid enough.
Is this a big thing that people know?
It's more recently known now. Yeah, like
with the strike, or just because it's starting to become known that,
like, in Ant-Man, the CGI in that movie compared really to like the CGI in Infinity War was on a completely different level.
But they put way more money into Infinity War than they did Ant-Man.
Yes, but still, I think CGI in Pirates of the Caribbean like 20 years ago is so good compared to the Meg.
I also think that, like,
I don't know, it's going downhill
with CGI because we've seen such good CGI now. Like, it's so easy to compare it and say some is worse than the others, when in reality, you know what I mean? Maybe it's just because we have too high of expectations for CGI now than, like, what they can really do on, like, an actual economic scale.
Maybe, yeah.
Because we've seen, like, so many, like, crazy, like, Avatar CGI stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then comparing it to the Meg, which is, like, a lower budget compared to, like, Avatar, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Lower budget.
So when you compare it, you can't really say it's the same. So are you saying that there's a high demand for CGI... CGX, that's what you call them?
CGI. Computer generated images.
No, but the people who do that job.
The VFX artists?
Yeah, maybe VFX artists are now comparable to nurses, you know what I mean? Like, there's just never enough. We're in a VFX shortage.
I know, and it's like the studios don't give them enough time to work. That's why a lot of CGI looked bad recently. Because I got to get a movie by this date, or else, well, that means reshoots. That means spike in the budget, you know?
Yeah, you know, I was talking about this later on, but I'm going to bring it up now.
Right.
The timing of this movie is just exquisite with the Titanic submarine disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Like, isn't that kind of ironic? This movie relies heavily on submarines and also on the concept that the extreme pressure of being thousands of feet underwater is, like, no biggie, you know?
Yeah, not the best time.
So, like, I wonder, like, what their teen thought about that, that happening, and then their movie about people just putzing around in submarines.
Putzing around in submarines. Yeah. That's all you want to do in a submarine.
I know.
Just putz around.
It's honestly, like, infuriating to me how they pretended how easy it was, but whatever.
Anyway, that's my rant.
You want to get into my notes? I have a couple of rants, too.
Okay.
Notes before we get into the plot of the movie. I personally had no idea what the Meg movies were before we decided last week that we wanted to do the sequel one for the podcast. So we started watching the original one because I was like, when we saw the Avatar movie, I was like, oh, I want to watch the old one so I can know what's going on with the new one. But I realized very quickly that it was a terrible movie.
Yep.
The first one is so awfully bad. Like,
it's worse than I remember.
It was really bad. And, like, I am all for, like, action movies just for the sake of action movies. People love them. People want to see them. Give the people what they want. You know what I mean? But the Meg 1 was just, like, inexcusable how bad it was. And I would honestly say Meg 2 was better. It was just the Meg 1 was awful and the Meg 2 was lazy. Like, they couldn't even come up with a good name for it. Like, you couldn't even.
Yeah,
the Trench is what they're going to call it.
That's very appealing.
It was so. This was just a lazy movie. Like, everything they did was lazy. Like, the darn action scenes and everything. Like, you could tell they were trying so hard to make it, like, riveting. Like, they were trying so hard to make you on the edge of your seat and terrified and scared.
But
and
you knew what was gonna
it didn't
happen.
Work. I know. And it's because there's extreme plot armor. Like, to the point here, I wrote notes about this later, but I'm getting into it now. So I want to scroll to my notes because I had something I wanted to say about it. Yeah, so it's personally a pet peeve of mine when storylines add random people to it just so that they can kill them off and create the illusion that the main characters are in danger. Like, mm-hmm. that really bothers me. And that's what this whole movie was. Like, they had all these randos.
As soon as you saw them, you're like, you're going to die.
I know. Like, you knew instantly they were going to die. I don't know. They just, they really failed to keep you on the edge of your seat, which, like, some of these crappy action movies, like, the first one that comes to my head is, like, San Andreas Fault, you know?
Yeah.
The San Andreas movie with The Rock Johnson. That one is good. Like, that is intriguing. And, like, you were actually on the edge of your seat the whole time. Whereas this one is just, like, it's lazy. Like, they could have done so much better. They could have really made you, like, feel anxious and nervous and terrified by the shark about to kill you.
Yep.
I don't know. That's my rant.
I agree with that. I also think showing a creature or a monster too early in a movie takes away from all the fear.
Yeah, that was like, wasn't it discovered in the Jaws movie?
Yeah, legit, yeah.
Like, because the shark kept breaking, right? So they couldn't like show it.
Mm-hmm, and so they decided, well, let's just not show it until like the very end of the movie. And that's genius.
And everybody loved that. Like, that's what made it so scary.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that they, you know, it's how like all the best world discoveries are done by accident. That's a big one. It's like, don't show the bad guy right away.
Yeah.
You take away the mystery, the sex appeal. No, I'm kidding.
The fear of the unknown, you know? That's yes, scarier than anything.
You're so true. Yeah. Like the fear of the dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even that you like, it's like the fact that you don't know what's in the dark that's scary. Not because like there's actually something in the dark, yeah, you know? Yeah. It's like the endless possibilities of what could be there is scary. Like the worst of the worst, the baddest of the bad. The baddies. What is a baddie? Isn't it like a, you know, modern term people say? I already feel so behind on like the young generation and like the things people say and the things people think, like glizzies or hot dogs. Yeah. I did not know that. I don't know. I just feel like I'm already like, I'm 23 and I already feel like I'm like so disconnected from our generation.
A baddie is a term now used to describe like an attractive woman. Oh, she's a baddie.
So it's an adjective?
Yes. Or it could be a noun.
A what woman?
An attractive woman.
Oh, okay.
That's just what I've heard.
Don't call me a baddie.
You don't want me to call you an attractive woman?
I would rather you tell me I'm an attractive woman than a baddie.
True.
There's something about it that seems derogatory, even if it's not intended to be. You know what I mean?
Of course it's derogatory. It's something a man is saying about a woman.
But if you tell me I'm an attractive woman and you're my fiance, like, it's not derogatory.
Yeah, agreed.
Whatever, potato, potato. Okay, you ready to start talking about the plot?
Yeah.
This is some riveting stuff, you guys. Riveting stuff. So, the whole movie starts out with the main character, Jonas, on a cargo ship, and he's running around a bit. He's yelling at people, basically telling them they're all going to go to jail because they're hurting the environment. And then he jumps overboard. So I don't really know why they needed this scene. It was just like kind of like vigilante stuff.
The proof that they were dumping the radioactive waste in the ocean. And I thought they were going to like tie in them dumping the waste into creating some kind of like super monster. But that
would have been cool.
That didn't go anywhere.
I think the only point is because they wanted one of the bad guys to have been like wronged by Jonas putting him in jail for like hurting the environment. But I don't think he was actually a part of that crew.
No, it was a different
crew. I think he was literally just like some random guy Jonas put in jail because Jonas is just like the baddest of baddies, male baddies. And he puts people in jail all the time, I guess. Like, I don't know. There's just this weird pretentious nature to Jonas that I don't like. Like, he's just like always angry at everybody else for being stupid, but then he's so lovable and he's like a family guy.
That's Jason Statham in every single movie, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's how he was in the Fast and Furious movie.
You can't hear anything he's saying anyways.
Yeah, that's true. Is he American?
No, he is.
He's got like an accent.
Very
like.
Strong accent. I like him in the Expendables movies.
I don't know what the Expendables movies are.
Shoot 'em up, beat 'em up, action movies.
So it seems like that's all he does. But he's really good at that, like, bad guy. Like, I'm aggressive, I'm gritty, I don't shave, I have a 5 o'clock shadow all the time.
Yeah. He did most of his own stunts in this movie, which is nice.
The stunts weren't that great.
I know, but he did them.
So he got scooped up by an airplane in the ocean?
Yeah, they actually did that.
You're lying.
I'm lying.
The way you like said that was funny. You know what I'd like right now? Cake.
You just gotta create, what kind of cake?
Vanilla with vanilla icing. You never want cake though, so why would I make a cake that you want?
I just don't crave cake. If it's a butter cake from like,
okay, Maggiano's, that's so specific.
Oh,
the butter cake. Okay, if you live near Maggiano's in New York City, go get the butter cake. It is life changing with ice cream.
Or Chop House 47, there is really good too.
Theirs is so good. Oh, I would go to Chop House just for the mashed potatoes
and the butter cake.
The butter cake. Oh, I want to go back there. That place is great. It's just so expensive.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that's what you pay for food. That's like fantastic.
Mucho mono.
Yeah. Mucho mono. So, basically, they also show you that Jonas is still working for Mana One, which is like a group of researchers who explore the Mariana.
Sorry.
Thank you for that. Who explore the Mariana Trench. And in the Mariana Trench, in the previous movie, they had found megalodons, which are like giant sharks, which I think were real creatures back in the day, right?
Back in the day.
They were? You know, when you nod, it doesn't pick it up on the microphone.
Oh, I kind of forgot about that. Can't read my body language? Come on.
You can't hear his body language. So they also have found in the Mariana Trench, there's this thing called the thermocline layer, which is basically just like a layer of the water, which is like a different temperature than the rest of the water. And it kind of works as like a barrier and a wall. And they found that they can actually take their little tiny submarines just straight through the thermocline layer. And
Sorry. How did nobody figure out this sooner? They just thought, oh, that's the bottom.
I know.
It doesn't look like you can go past it. Let's not.
Well,
you can't go past
it. I hadn't said yet that they thought it was the ocean floor.
Oh.
And they realized it wasn't. So now you're confusing everybody.
I jumped the gun.
So 1 second. Hold that thought. They thought that the thermocline was the ocean floor, but they found out that it wasn't because they could take their tiny submarines through it. And they found a whole new world with all these animals under there. Okay.
Cue How could Jonathan. They not tell that was the bottom?
You were right on cue. That was wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
This is outrageous. Okay, so in the last movie, there was this woman and she died. You need to know that context for the rest of the movie.
Oh, and, her father died too.
And her father died. I didn't see these parts though because I got tired of watching the old movie, so I just figured it out in the new movie. So Jonas has been raising this dead woman's child. Her name is Mei Ying. She's
child.
Very what's the word?
Annoying.
Yeah, I'd say annoying.
Yeah.
She's probably like 13, 14 years old, and she wants to go diving with them into the depths of the ocean, even though she's a child and she's highly inexperienced.
Even though it's where her mother and her father also died.
Yeah, and that's how both of her parents died, which you'd think would be very traumatizing for her, but it's not. So her uncle, his name is, what was it?
Juming.
I don't know. We're
like
very much mispronouncing her name.
I'm sorry.
Name, so please
for
forgive us. So Juming is her uncle, and he actually now owns Mana One, the company, alongside a rich woman named Hillary. We all know who I'm talking about.
Coincidence?
I think not.
Oh, you got it.
Everybody knows that.
No, but sometimes you don't get my references.
Oh, because your references are just so obscure and like intelligent.
No, because
you
were out
head.
Of touch and live under a rock.
I do live under a rock and I am out of touch.
It's probably a good thing.
So,
you don't follow social media so closely. I have one fun fact for the movie.
You don't follow social media in like an unhealthy way though. Like you do it for movie news and for like actual news.
That's true. And for recipes and food.
Yeah, and food
I
stuff.
I love watching food on Instagram.
We literally never make any of the things that
I know,
you watch on
but
Instagram.
I want to. This is the most expensive shark movie ever made. That's the one fun fact about this movie.
That's the only fun fact you could find?
That's the only
interesting. There was nothing else that was fun?
There were other things, but it just was like boring.
Wow, that's a pretty good fun fact. The most expensive shark movie. I just like kind of can't believe that. Let's
think of other shark movies. You know?
Well, it's definitely going to not be one of the most successful shark movies.
That's
no
true.
Chance, no
That'll
chance.
Belong to Jaws forever.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah, forever and ever. Jaws is the most impactful shark movie. What's your second favorite shark movie? Mine's Shark Tales.
You're right. That's true.
I actually don't remember it at all. I haven't seen it in like
Will
over
Smith
a decade.
And Angelina Jolie.
Good movie.
And Robert De Niro. Even though it was ridiculous, I enjoyed The Shallows with Blake Lively.
I love The Shallows. It's a great movie.
I enjoyed that.
I would watch that any day.
Deep Blue Sea. That movie is ridiculous.
I don't know that movie.
That movie is just like, what?
I don't know that movie.
trying to think about this 47 Meters Down. Can't forget about those.
Yeah.
And then there was a second one.
Okay, I didn't mean to like spawn you into this crazy like tangent.
Sorry,
I just
like,
wanted you to like say a couple, but now like you've kind of lost you.
I just want to know like what other shark movies there are. Open Water. That's not a bad one. We've got the most important one, Emmy. Sharknado. And then Sharknado 2, 3, and 4.
Oh my God. Those movies, so they must have been successful if they kept making Sharknado movies.
They have a fan base, honestly.
I've never seen one of them. I've always seen them like come in the ads at the movie theater. I didn't know they had achieved like 4 of them.
Yeah, they made a lot and they're all just terrible, but they know they're terrible.
But they make money on them? I love movies that are terrible and they know they're terrible. This movie, The Meg 2, did not know that it was terrible.
Yeah, it was not self-aware.
Yeah. So, back to the plot. Mana 1 is currently studying a Meg that they have in captivity named Haiki, who they discovered when it was a baby and they trained it and it has been in captivity its entire life. It is the only Meg in the world that was in captivity. And Juming is besties with them and is teaching it all these tricks using like a clicker, but nobody believes him and thinks he's crazy because you can't train a Meg, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a stupid idea to even keep it in captivity.
Jonas and Juming are going to be leading a routine submarine exploration to the trench. And to their surprise, Mei Ying has snuck onto one of the submarines and is stowing away because she wants to go down to the depths with them and explore and see all of the things. And despite the danger of going down that deep, they let Mei Ying go along because they have no safety procedures or understanding of protocol, and they like to throw away millions of dollars. Even though someone is funding their highly expensive missions, they straight up don't care, and they do literally whatever they want the entire movie. It's like honestly frustrating.
Pretty much. Just like,
go it's infuriating.
Submarines and go crazy.
I know. So they also decide that not only are they going to let the child with them, they're also going to explore an uncharted region because they're so darn smart. Which this was just like annoying to me. Like this was just so annoying.
They're very smart.
Like they tried so hard up to build the anticipation and make you anxious and nervous. And as I was saying before, they failed epically because you just know the plot armor is so strong that there's literally no point in being stressed. They're not going to kill any of the main characters. Any of the characters they do kill, it's kind of like a fun little way. Like, oh, there he goes.
Sorry, so, she blows.
The buddies of theirs that are up on the surface, DJ and Mac, are observing them on their little computers and making sure everybody's okay. So these two kiddos on the surface discover that Haichi has actually escaped from captivity because it's mating season and she wants to go mate and make little Meg babies.
I'll go crazy.
Uh-huh. So she makes it into the trench and goes through the thermocline and she finds two larger male Megs and they're like having a good time hanging out, like having the bestest time of their life. I don't really understand why they needed to have three Megs. Like, why
What's
were there
more
only three?
Exciting than one Meg?
Why would there be three. More than three?
I don't know.
Well, there's three Megs who are like sticking together the whole time. Mating, I'm assuming. And that just makes it weird that there's three of them, but they're mating. Like, it should be like two. I don't know. I think that's weird.
Yeah.
A little bit creepy. I guess it's kind of a little bit of a long love triangle going on with the Megs. So, while they are discovering this new uncharted area, they realize that there's actually like an entire base down there and they have no idea what it's for. And they have no idea why it's there. So they basically get detected by the people who are working at the base. And those people set off a bomb, I guess, to try to scare away their submarines.
They wanted to crush them.
Yeah, they wanted to crush them with a landslide, so they set off a bomb because it's actually a mining operation that's going on at this little underground facility.
How did they not realize something else was below them, you know?
I know. I thought it was ridiculous. I'm like, somehow they put an entire mining station that was also at the time abandoned for some reason, which I didn't get, without the Manawan, 500 billion probably dollars worth facility, somehow not noticing them at all on their radars or their tracking systems, setting up an entire freaking mining station at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. How would they not detect them?
I guess
they would have no. They wouldn't see ships coming up and down.
Maybe not that, but I guess the person on the inside.
So there was
fumbled with some stuff. That's the only explanation. I fumbled the football.
You know, I was thinking the same thing. Maybe there was an inside guy, because you find out that Rich Hillary was actually a bad guy. Who would have thought?
Not me.
She was covertly using the Manawan to access the Trent to farm minerals that could earn billions of dollars. And so she was actually the one who was leading the whole operation. So, now that these two ships have been blown up and stuck in a landslide, they cannot just float back up to surface. So they decide they're going to get out of their ships in their fancy little water suits, and they're going to walk up to the station, which, keep in mind, the people in the submarines have no idea what the station is for. They don't know it's a mining operation, or that Rich Hillary is actually not a benefactor of their Manawan operations. She is actually using it to mine extremely expensive minerals.
Ores. Not whores, ores.
Ores. I'll give you two sheep for one ore.
No. Two hays for one wood.
My sheepies. Okay.
Settlers of Catan. Sorry.
Yeah, Settlers of Catan reference. So, up on the surface, DJ and Mac and another analyst named Jess discover that the rescue pod that they could have used to go down and pick up the people in the submarine has been sabotaged. So this is the reason that all the people are having to walk outside of their submarines on the bottom of the ocean and try to get to this random station, because there's no rescue pod to save them. I feel like I'm doing a really bad job explaining this, but this movie is just really contorted and...
No, you're doing a great job.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. I feel like I'm all over the place. So... Whew.
That's a lot.
So, as they're going on their walk, there's a little bit of drama. And Taylor, Mei-Ying, Ju-Ming, and Rigas, I don't know what her name is, but it's spelled R-I-G-A-S, Rigas, are the only people who survived the walk, because as I said earlier, they had a bunch of extra people on the boat just so they could kill them off.
They had some chum.
Yeah, they pretended they had character development for them, because they pretend there was one guy who was oh, I do Comic-Con and I dressed up for Comic-Con.
Ooh.
And then when he died, I guess that was his character development and we should have cared, but it didn't really develop, in my opinion.
No
development at all. So I Googled this because I was a little infuriated by it. And the pressure at the bottom of the Mariana Trench is comparable to 100 adult elephants standing on your head. And they make it seem so casual that they're just out in there in their little suits walking across the Mariana Trench with 100 elephants on top of them. And I get it, they had on these armored suits, I guess, that were strong and they could hold their body up, but they were literally not struggling with it at all. And then later in the movie, Jonas is swimming around under all the pressure without a powerful suit on. So, and they were acting like all you had to do was blow air out of your lungs, because the air is what would explode from the pressure.
Yeah.
But not the fact that his body was being crushed by 100 elephants worth of water.
It's pretty unrealistic.
And the density of water, I think, is thicker down there because it's so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that this guy was just swimming around.
If they 7 miles below the ocean, they would implode.
Huh?
If they went outside the sub, they would implode, realistically.
I know. It was the plot holes were just redonkulous. So, on the surface, Jess and this guy named Driscoli are actually traitors, and they're in love with each other. So Driscoli, oh my gosh, I forgot to mention this.
Driscoli, I thought his name was...
Driscoli was her lover.
I thought his name was Mortez. Monty? Montez?
Oh, it's M-O-N-T-E-S. So Montez. Is that Montez?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I don't know. Also, Driscoli is what the Wikipedia told me his name was.
Oh. Yeah.
But maybe his name was Montez Driscoli. I don't know. But you find out that Jess and Driscoli are actually bad people. So Driscoli, who I believe is Monty, maybe not. I don't know. I'm confused. He was the guy who blew up the bomb on the ocean floor.
Chibongo.
And so he was able to escape after that by grabbing onto a buoy and floating to the surface. You are telling me that this man held onto a buoy and traveled 7 miles through the water to the surface? Like, that is just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Like, sometimes I'm fine with plot holes, but that is too much.
You would die from the bends. That's exactly what would happen.
What's the bends?
The bends is what happens when you're at a deep depth for a extended period of time, and then you immediately go back to the surface.
Yeah, the pressure change. Yeah. The pressure change.
You need to just do it slowly.
Okay, so that is because you don't adjust to it?
Yeah, you don't adjust to the depth and the pressure.
And your body will die from it?
Yeah.
Whoa. You can die. That is crazy.
And then you can, like, you can be fine once you get out of the water, and then, like, an hour later, you can die.
What happens in your body that kills you?
I don't remember exactly.
Is it, like, your cells exploding or something?
I don't remember exactly. I used to know.
The Benz. It's called Mercedes the Benz.
You know what?
That would be the only way I could ever afford a Benz.
What?
That would be the only Benz I would ever experience, because I'm not going to buy a Mercedes Benz.
No. Yeah, true.
So, yeah, that was, like, honestly infuriating to me that he did that. And I was, like, really wanting to know how long it would actually take if he was floating on a buoy up to the surface. Like, if that would take hours.
It would take
to
hours.
To travel miles. And I know that I could do the math, but it'd be really complicated. And I never liked physics in college, so I'm not going to do the math. But it would take a while, okay? Just a wee bit of time. So, Driscoli, who we believe is Montes, sends bad guys to take over Mana One while Montes surfaces and meets with Jess. So Driscoli is a different guy.
Who is Driscoli? I don't know.
I don't remember who Driscoli is.
You don't have to look him up. You're good.
Okay, never mind. I just found someone named Meg Driscoli on Twitter instead of, like, finding what I was looking for. So Monty has surfaced and he meets up with Jess. We find out that there was a breach of the thermocline because of the explosion, and a bunch of prehistoric looking animals are surfacing and coming through the thermocline that never would have before. They're mixing the environments. And so Jonas's crew meets up with his buddies, DJ and Mac, and are being attacked by Montez's crew, who are trying to kill them.
Shoot him up.
And also, Jess is killed by a Meg for no reason at all.
Yeah, for some comedy.
But Jess was, like, I guess this friend of theirs, this girly friend, and then she became a bad guy. So Jonas and his team escape on a raft to a nearby resort called Fun Island, which they somehow rode to all the way from the Mariana Trench. And I Googled this.
It's really far.
It's like 200 miles to Guam from the Mariana Trench.
Yeah.
Which is the closest landmass.
Yeah.
So you're telling me they rode 200 miles in their little, like, plastic boat.
Yeah, it's not really realistic.
It was, like, really annoying.
I mean, there are megalodons in this movie.
I know, and the Megs didn't get them. Like, they did this, like, little trick to, like, escape the megalodons so that they wouldn't, like, see them rowing. And then the megalodons ate another boat that had on their motor, like, the bad guy's boat. And then somehow after they eat the bad guy's boat, they can start, like, making a bunch of water and, like, making a bunch of sound and turn on the motor on their boat. Yeah. Like, it was so annoying. Like, it was, like, that's just not plausible. So They get to this island. They split up because they know all the prehistoric animals are coming to the island. And they want to evacuate all of the tourists as the Megs and giant octopus begin their attack. I will say, they had a Meg and giant octopus battle scene, and I know they were going for Godzilla versus Kong, but it just didn't hit quite the same.
It's true. I watched that movie like 3 times.
Godzilla versus Kong was way too much action, to the point where like I was so bored.
I still kind of enjoyed
it. And usually I like a classy, common action movie, but it was too much. Too much. But the like
you always say
CGI
was
good. Too much. Way too much.
You always say that about movies. It was too much.
It's too much. So Jonas is out there on a jet ski killing Megs with explosive harpoons, okay? This guy's badass. And he's also at the same time finding Monty until Monty is eaten by a Meg. And Ju Ming makes a bomb out of fertilizer and steals a helicopter and goes to the beach where he crashes the helicopter. And then in all of the chaos that is ensuing, Jonas grabs one of the helicopter blades and stabs a Meg through the head with it, like through its mouth. So I'm not really sure how to fact check this one because one website said that helicopter blades weighed 80 pounds and another one said that they weigh 200 pounds. So
it probably depends on the helicopter.
I should have just asked you what kind of helicopter it was because you probably knew.
It was a large, it looked like a large blade. It
almost so looked probably like 500, 600 pounds.
Like a Huey or almost. Look up blade weight of a Huey helicopter.
Blade weight.
H-U-E-Y.
Huey heli. How heavy are the blades of a helicopter? See, this is 77 pounds. How fast is the blade of a Huey? What are the specs on a Huey helicopter?
I don't know, but it's unrealistic that he could lift it and put it through the shark's brain. Anyways.
Yeah, it was kind of like unbelievable. It reminded me of an RRR when the guy threw a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Like I was like, you really just threw a motorcycle right now? When those things were probably made of steel at the time, because RRR took place in like the 20s or something, right?
The
20s? The Victorian era. The movie RRR.
Oh, yes.
It took place like it was a period movie.
I was tripping.
Movie.
I was like, you mean the 2000s, not the 20s?
You
the
think 1920s? RRR was not taking place in the 2000s. I know. So, also, Ju Ming shows off that he actually did train Hachi, and she listens to his little clicking sounds and decides all of a sudden, I'm not going to eat people anymore.
I'm over it. They
I'm
don't
over
taste great.
People.
And I want fishies instead.
I want fishies instead, exactly. So, they finish it off by saying that Hachi is probably going to be pregnant because it was mating season. But sadly, all of the other men, Meg, have died. So she's the only Meg left. And that was it. But they did try to set it up for another movie by having her pregante. So
we'll see if that happens.
Probably get little Meg babies in the next movie. Well, this movie has already made more than what it costed. Right? Like they made $145
Possibly.
Million so far.
Yeah.
So they have at least had a $20 million profit.
Profit.
So, profit you never know.
You don't know what you don't know.
You want to know what we don't know?
What movie we're doing next.
Exactly.
So I know that Talk to Me movie is coming out this weekend, but also...
Let's do it.
We don't know what we're doing this weekend.
What are you talking about?
You said you wanted to go. You wanted to go.
Jonathan, we will have time to go to the movies. I love going to the movies.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that.
We'll do Talk to Me next week. Bye. Say bye.
Oh, bye. I'm sorry.